The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. Gents, our predictions for this game. Charlie, you said 24-20. Josh, you said 24-21. I said 27-24. It was a close game. Actual score 29-27. Before the game, we got information that Steven Sims and British Brooks were active over guys like John Metchie III and Cam Akers. I think we all were a little puzzled on that, but British Brooks was active well, made his presence felt early on special teams. We talked about the potential X factors on this matchup. One we didn't include, the turf in Lucas Oil Field. It played like it was covered in Lucas Oil. The line on this game was close. Two young gun quarterbacks going head to head. It absolutely lived up to the hype. Let's start on offense because I think that's where our big headlines are at. Two major debuts for the Texans on offense. Joe Mixon on the ground, Stephon Diggs through the air. Boy, did those two guys pay off big. What did you think about the debut of the Texans' new look offense?
It was good. Hey, with the weather that we had in Houston Sunday, it damn well needed to be an entertaining game with the right outcome for Texans fans. And looky there, that was the delivery. Joe Mixon, just a tour de force performance. As if we all didn't know, preseason football is a big waste of time other than easy revenue for owners. But to go 30 carries strong opening day after getting no game conditioning, much less action at all in the preseason, obviously it's not sustainable, 30 carries per week. But for week one in a close game, I mean, there were many little differences in the game, but I think in the macro, it was Joe Mixon moving the chains, grinding, pounding, best-looking running back since peak Arian Foster in a Texans uniform. Now, he didn't have the explosiveness that Arian did or even the shiftiness that Devin Singletary did, but he's just a polished, rounded back. We saw more of the screen game with Mixon, but 30 carries for a 159, not one rushing attempt for Mixon over 13 yards in the game. So there were no breakaways. It was just steady every time he ran the ball. 5, 7, 9, 6, 7, 5. And you added up over 5 yards per carry on that quantity of work. Conversely, the Colts stud Jonathan Taylor, longest rush in the game, 7 yards, 16 carries for 48 yards. So in the running back matchup, Mixon by knockout, Texans overall by close decision.
Yeah, that was what we were wondering, right? Can they get the running game going this year? Something to complement CJ. And boy, did they. You know, Charlie hit on it. Not super explosive for Mixon. He kind of gets you what's blocked up. You know, there was a couple spots where if he just could have gotten away, it could have been a big gainer. But that's just really not what he does at this point in his career. But that's okay. He looked good. He did what they needed today. Even Damian Pierce over 5 yards a carry. He only had 3, but That's showing you the O-line was really moving guys around, creating holes. So that was really good to see. Nice to see Diggs get in the end zone a couple times. Really impressive from him. I just think this game, it's really close. It kind of turned on a few things. CJ had 2 interceptions that kind of got undone. One, the defender's foot was out of bounds, and then there was a holding call that undid one of those interceptions for CJ. So felt like this game didn't need to be this close, but the Texans, they had that propensity to give up those big plays and not allow the Colts to get back in the game.
You outgain a team by more than 100 yards, you win the turnover battle. You probably expect to win by more than 2, but the NFL is designed for close games. In the preview we talked about on Thursday, opening week, just one game with a point spread of 7 or more points. Right, if you're a road favorite in the NFL, you're thought to be clearly the better team. The Texans, not by head and shoulders, by leaps and bounds. Are they better than the Colts? Right, Indy was a bottom 6 scoring defense in the NFL. But the Texans, just one of their last 8 regular season games, did they score as many points as they put up in the opener? And just the depth of their weaponry. Nico Collins, it's week 1, recency bias. But I don't know if we look back week 18 or after week 18, the Texans' catch of the year was made in week one. Because you don't know. If he doesn't catch that ball, they have to punt. The Colts can go down, win the game with a field goal, and you're 0-1 in the division. Throw in, by the way, the Titans puking up a lead to the Bears, the Jaguars puking up a lead to the Dolphins, and the Texans sit 1-0. Everyone else in the division zip and one. Laramie Tunsil, unfortunate midseason form with two false starts. Kenyon Green late, maybe just a little jittery, loud crowd, game circumstances. But, you know, for a guy who was nothing through his first 2 years in the league and is the biggest question mark in the offensive line, or at least in tandem with Juice Scruggs, neither guy stuck out as a sore thumb problem in the game. Of course, they'll see better fronts and better defenses than the Colts. But for week one, 29 points, more than 400 yards, coming home with a win quite happily.
O-line was kind of a double-edged sword there, right? You had three false starts, but then they also opened up all those holes for Mixon and Pierce throughout the day. Texans did leave 4 points on the field early. Charlie, I texted you at the end of the first half, and I said, if the Texans lose this game by four or less points, D'Amico is going to come under some fire. What did you guys think? What I'm talking about is they opt for a 2-point conversion instead of going, just taking the extra point after their touchdown. And then also there was confusion at the end of the half and they're not able to get their field goal unit on the field to take what should have been an easy 3-point play there. What did you think about that play calling? I mean, granted, I know it's at the end of the day, this doesn't matter, but like I said, if they lost this game, there would have been some criticism there. What did you think about those play calls?
Well, typically, I think the rule of thumb is you don't chase points going for two as opposed to taking one unless you're in the fourth quarter. I'm a believer that if you have a chance to tie the game with a 2-pointer at any point, take it. You don't know how the game is going to play out. Maybe that's your best opportunity to actually tie the game. Before the half, that was just a botch job. The whole sequence was odd. But among the many, many things to love about D'Amico Ryans, as he's going off the field to the locker room at halftime, he's, that's on us, right? They were just ill-prepared. And so when they wound the clock from 5 seconds, didn't have time to get it off. You know, you need to snap it immediately and just kill the ball at that point. And let's throw in offense, special teams, offensive component, Fairbairn, 51, 50, and 51-yard field goals. What a stout opening. It's not as if the Colts rookie kicker who filled in for Matt Gay messed up anything. But Fairbairn, you know, the Texans get inside the 40-yard line. They think they're in field goal range.
For me, I kind of blame the officials for right before the half, because the Colts take a timeout, but then they give the Colts their timeout back. So that was really confusing right there. So I don't think they really knew it. What they put, like 15 seconds on the clock, and then they changed it to five. And, you know, I was like, at 5 seconds, why isn't the kicker on the field? So yeah, I just kind of blame the officials for that. And you even heard the crowd booing the officials. They're like, sorry for the misunderstanding. It was just a mess right there at that point in the game. Also like to point out that the block punt really swung this game too, you know, where it felt like the Texans got in a real jam there with that block punt. And British Brooks, he let a guy outside of him get past him, but he also blocked the guy that was right in front of him. So I'm not going to put that just on British Brooks there. But yeah, that punt return really changed things right there. Got the Colts back in the game, but Texans held on, and, you know, Charlie hit on it. Nico Collins, man. That's your best receiver on this team. And when it mattered the most, he came up with a huge catch. He had another big game. He was one of the main reasons you beat the Colts last year at the end of the season. So way to go, Nico.
I have to think the punt block's a protection scheme thing. You can't be asking one guy to block two in that spot. And one thing, and the Texans secondary, you know, it reared its ugly head frequently last season. When you are the better team over the course of 60 minutes, right, your offense just moves the ball more consistently. I mean, Anthony Richardson, he is a horse of a runner. He's a scatterarm passer. 9 completions in the game, a couple of terrible throws, but boy, he has the big arm. Well, don't get beaten for the touchdowns. You know, the first big play, I really think Derek Stingley was caught napping, thinking, that Pierce guy, no way he's going to blow by me. Well, it's exactly what he did. I mean, Stingley was lined up 9 yards off the ball, and Alec Pierce, basketball white men can jump. In the NFL, certain white wide receivers can scoot, and Pierce is one of them. Jimmy Ward is a problem. He's a 33-year-old safety in terms of just ability to run both of the long passes to Pierce. Ward was a partial culprit on one and seemed to be the primary culprit on the other. Good with the bad, Nice interception in his debut for Kalen Bullock, who you hope evolves to where he's a pretty full-time safety, because they need one rangy, ball hawkish type safety, because neither Jalen Petrie nor Jimmy Ward appear to be that guy.
Yeah, you talked about it. You look at the stats and you'd say, like, oh, this should have been a bigger lead for the Texans than it was. I mean, especially on time of possession, where they double them up, absolutely suffocate the Colts on time of possession. But as you mentioned, this was a game that was kept close by a handful of Anthony Richardson 50-plus yard pass plays. Josh, you know, we heard from Charlie. What did you see from the secondary and how Richardson was able to complete those plays that kept them in this game?
It's like Charlie mentioned, Stingley got beat on one. Ward had some issues there. This is something we saw last year. The Texans, they struggle with this, but also they didn't let Jonathan Taylor almost run for 200 yards this time around. So I think D'Amico schemed it up a little differently. And the other problem, there was no pressure. Like, if I would have told you Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter didn't play today, you would have been like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't notice those guys do anything. They got a couple sacks, but it wasn't from them. It was from the inside. I think Fatakasi had one and Edwards had the other one. So CJ was taking a lot more sacks. The pressure from the outside just was not doing it, but that might have been part of the plan. They don't want to let Richardson have open rushing lanes. And, you know, they got to be careful with him, because you saw with that goal line play. I mean, the dude is fast. He's powerful. You let him get going, he can hurt you all day. So I just think it was a deal where it would have been nice. We saw Diggs, the new shiny toy, Mixon, the new shiny toy, but we didn't see much from Hunter this afternoon. And we know that Will Anderson, he's been dealing with that ankle all preseason, and we didn't see much from him today. So I hope that's not still bothering him.
A punt block, especially deep in your own end, that's functionally a turnover, though it does not count as one. But the offense, zero turnovers, right? C.J. Stroud's entire rookie season, 15 games played in his rookie season, just 5 interceptions. And maybe he just has the magic beans that he has a higher percentage of the ones that, oh, that could have been picked off or should have been picked off, but they don't wind up being an interception. You referenced the one along the sidelines there. Joe Mixon, 30 carries. Of course, no fumbles, because he's now 2 seasons in 1 game without putting the ball on the ground, right? It's a cliche. Don't beat yourself when you have a good enough team that you think you have more talent than most teams that you're facing. Don't give up those huge plays. That's where time of possession can be a very deceptive stat in football. You know, if I go 14 plays, 79 yards, and kick a field goal, and you go 3 plays and hit a 60-yard touchdown pass, I had the ball for 9 minutes, you had the ball for a minute and a half, and you outscored me 7-3. So they need to clean up the back end. But overall, division road win, a very good opening Sunday, especially when the rest of the division's 0-1.
Also, I think probably honorable mention here is Kyahmi Fairbairn, who all of his field goals today, except for one, I believe, were over 50 yards. I mean, incredible weapon that you have there. Again, you talk about Nico Collins. That was a, 55-yard completion that got them down into that range to finish that drive off. Another gutsy call there by D'Amico to go for it on fourth down there. But again, on the other side, you saw Anthony Richardson. They went for it on fourth goal in a much tighter situation with 2 minutes left to play. They convert on that. So really kind of just a slugfest between two of the more exciting quarterbacks in this league. On defense, on the run game, I know we talked about not being able to get a lot of pressure on Richardson. They were able to contain that run game with Jonathan Taylor, which they were not able to do last season. How did you guys see that? What do you think they did successful against that run game that helped contain Taylor?
Credit to the interior guys, right? I thought the net has to play out over the long haul, but the net, I thought it was a talent drop-off going from Collins and Rankins to Fatukasi and Edwards. But as Josh referenced, you know, not the $20 million Danielle Hunter, obviously, not D'Amico Autry, and Will Anderson was largely MIA in the game. Fatukasi and Edwards each give you a sack, as well as not being vulnerable to those up-the-middle, down-your-throat gash runs. In terms of their inability to contain Richardson, hey, you know, 6'4", 240-pound quarterbacks who can move, they're a problem, right? This isn't solitaire where it's you against the deck of cards, and if you feel like it, you can cheat to win. The other team has talent, and guys are going to make plays. Richardson has a lot to do to develop to become a significant quarterback in the league, but you think of guys like Randall Cunningham and Michael Vick. They're going to make plays with their legs because they're freaking amazing athletes. And Richardson at this point is better athlete than quarterback. And we'll see how Shane Steichen and the Colts are able to develop him. But the accuracy issues that he has, that he had at Florida, that is job one. If he can't become a more regularly accurate passer, he'll never be more than a distant second to C.J. Stroud in the AFC South.
Yeah, he definitely missed some throws. And at the end of the game, it looked like he hit his hand on somebody's helmet or something like that. So that might have been bothering. But then he threw a big completion after that. So he was okay. But yeah, you just got to give him credit. Jonathan Taylor, 16 attempts, only 48 yards. So that's just 3 yards a pop there. So really good job by the Texans. And that just shows you Anthony Richardson, with only 6 attempts, outrushed Jonathan Taylor with 56 yards. So, and he had the rushing touchdown as well. I think they did a good job on Pittman. It was their other receivers that got off today. But Pittman, that's their number one guy. They paid him a big contract in the offseason, only 4 catches for 31 yards. So, you know, I guess you kind of pick your poison here. The Colts were able to get some big plays, but Texans came through when it mattered.
And we usually end our podcasts, our breakdown of the game with an MVP. Is there a case for anyone at MVP besides Joe Mixon?
Nico Collins, that catch was just a spectacular play to catch it, and then get the knee down on top of that, and Stroud to put it on point to give Collins a chance to do both. But how could it not be Mixon? 30 carries, 189 yards. He was the bulwark. It's not like they were trying to run clock the whole game, but just a stupendous debut for a guy who didn't see the field for a snap in the preseason. Well-earned hot tub/cold tub tomorrow for Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and I love they're getting creative. A lot of toss plays to Mixon in the running game. They kind of kept going back to that because it was working. So, yeah, got to go to Mixon. But, yeah, honorable mention, Nico. If they have to punt the ball right there and then they're only up by two, you could lose the ball game.
We saw a lot of those toss plays last season. They just didn't really amount to anything. They never developed anything. So kudos to the offensive line for creating holes. Kudos to Joe Mixon for making the most of it. I mean, like you said, Josh, there was a couple plays there where it looked like he was about to break it. If it weren't for a guy grabbing his leg, it still was a big gain, but they weren't able to break off any real big runs. But it was just a steady dose of that. And when they needed it at the end of the game to ice it, Joe Mixon was there with 3 runs to just absolutely put this thing on ice and give the Texans a big W. I'll give you guys the last word here. Any final standouts or takeaways from this thrilling victory over the Colts?
Just a solid win. It's natural for fans with the run-up to the season to be thinking, we're going to blow out the Colts. Indy was 9-8 last season. The Texans were 10-7, and it went down to that last game and that last drive. Remember Fairbairn missing that extra point that could have cost the Texans the division, but they were able to get a defensive stop against Gardner Minshew and the Colts. But from losing early last season at home to Indy to winning at Indy to start this season, what a difference a year makes. And the Texans maybe play from the lead in this division, maybe from wire to wire.
It's always good when you can clean up some of your mistakes coming off a win, right? So hopefully, you know, A.D. Mitchell, the rookie out of UT, he got open a few times, and the throw just wasn't there from Richardson. He missed him a few times. So, you know, if they land a couple of those or you play a quarterback who's a little more accurate, that could have burned him. But also, you know, Tank Dell was open in the end zone, and C.J. Stroud missed him earlier in the game. So, you know, you're not going to hit all your throws, but hopefully they can clean up this, you know, pass defense heading into next week's game. And nice to come away with the win. I like the aggression from D'Amico there at the end of the game. Even the broadcasters were surprised they didn't go for the field goal in that situation, but it ended up working. And it's going to be a good week here. So this is the way you start the season, an exciting game, and you come away with the win. And the big question mark, your running game, it looks like they have improved it over the offseason.
Yeah, and on the theme of aggression, I mean, how about D'Amico throwing it on that third when it was 3rd and 14 to Nico and not just running it and punting the ball away and forcing the Colts to call another timeout? So that seems to have been the theme of the day, was aggression, trusting in your defense and your offense, and they really did that. We'll wrap it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We'll be doing a preview of Bears-Texans later in the week, so keep an eye out for that. And we'll be back here next Sunday following that game, so make sure you're subscribed to the channel so you're here with us when we do that post-game reaction live. Until next time, go Texans!
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.